Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Is Resurrection Power in You Already?
The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. God's grace and His mercy and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about the power of the resurrection. Resurrection power. And ask whether it's just something that happened 2,000 years ago. You know, here on this graph, Christ comes down, He dies for our sins, He rose again from the dead about 2,000 years ago. He ascended, He's at the right hand of God in heaven before He comes again on the last day. Is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ only something that happened 2,000 years ago? Is it also just something that is going to happen to us in the future when He returns on the last day, when we know He's going to raise our bodies up from the dead? Or is there also resurrection power for us right here in the middle between His 2,000 years ago resurrection and His coming again on the clouds of glory? Is there resurrection power for you today, 2023, this very day in Jesus Christ? Is it at work in your life? Let's see what the scriptures teach us about that. What can we say? Well, the first thing is, we Christians tend to think that resurrection power that we celebrate at Easter, resurrection season as we call it, was 2,000 years ago, and that's where we really focus on and celebrate. And we should celebrate that. Look at Matthew 28. Let's read about that power. Verse 1, 3 and 5 to 6. We read, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the sepulcher to see it. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said.'" So that's the resurrection of Christ, amen? We celebrated last week. He rose again from the dead on that day about 2,000 years ago. And in 2 Corinthians 13, "He was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God." Can you say the word power?
Power.
Resurrection power.
Resurrection power.
No, didn't expect you to say that, but I'm happy you did. Now, we also celebrate and continually talk about the resurrection power of Christ to be a future event for us, right? Because just as Christ was raised from the dead, so also will we be raised when He comes on the last day. We read in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14, "And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power." Say the word again, power. His resurrection power is coming in the future to raise your bodies, to make them immortal, glorified, imperishable, full of honor and strength, and like His own very body on the day when He's coming, bodies fit for the kingdom to come. "If the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you," says Paul, "then that same Spirit is going to raise your bodies at the last day." Philippians 3, "He will change our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the same power," there's the word again, "by which He subjects all things to Himself." So He's going to raise your body. He raised Christ's body in power, and Christ by that same power will raise you on the last day. And we celebrate that. Amen? But now the question is, what about between the two? Power behind us, power before us, what about the power now? Is there resurrection power for you now? Well, let's see what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. Turn there. This is his prayer, really, for all Christians, especially at Ephesus at the time. He prayed that they might know the hope. You might know the hope to which He's called you, that's future. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, that's future. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power in us who believe according to the working of his great might when he raised Christ from the dead. So the word there is, what is the power immeasurable in you right now? Paul wants you to know. Do you believe that? That there is immeasurable resurrection power in you even now, already today, in your life, to be experienced and to be lived. Well, let's take a look at that and see when Jesus said, John 14, yet a little while, then the world will see me no more, but you're going to see me because I live, you will live also. Does that only mean up here? Or does that mean you're going to live with resurrection power now because I live, you're going to live in the church age until I come? Well, let me ask this question. Are you already raised from the dead? Yes. Yes and no. We're not raised our bodies, right? But your spirit. How about your inner man? Are you actually raised according to God already in spirit in your inner man inside? Well, let's open up. I got so many of these here today. Let's take a look in the Bible. Paul says, and you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. You know, we were all children of wrath, he says, like the rest of mankind. We were all dead. Say the word dead. You were. But he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So are you really already raised according to God? Resurrection power in your spirit, in your inner man, in your inner person. You've been raised from the dead. How are you raised? Well, the next couple verses of Ephesians says, by grace you've been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing. It's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. So the first way we get raised, of course, is through faith in our Lord. We're born again. We're raised to a new life. Also in, you'd love this one, say it, baptism. Ian always says that, and it's true. You were buried, Romans chapter 6. You were buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. And so in baptism you died, and in baptism you were raised to a new life with resurrection power. Now, do you believe that? Do you experience that? You know, a lot of Christians are like, okay, kind of like theoretically I'm raised, but I don't feel that much different than average Joe unbeliever down the streets. I mean, how is this resurrection power really at work within me? So let's put this board away for a moment, and we're going to go to this one. Here's the new you. Don't you look beautiful? The new you. This one on this side is going to be the old you, when you were, before you were saved, while you were yet an unbeliever. And it goes for all unbelievers today. Is there an actual difference between what you used to be? Remember, the old has passed away, you're a new creation, the new has come. Let's compare the new you versus the old you and see what kind of resurrection power is at work in your life right now, even before Christ comes again to celebrate. Well, let's start out with the first part of the body. Let's start out with the eyes. What were our eyes like, and what are unbelievers' eyes like today? Let's read in Jeremiah chapter 5. God says to his people, declare this in the house of Jacob, proclaim it in Judah. He says, hear this, O foolish and senseless people who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. Don't you fear me, says the Lord. Don't you tremble before me. I place the sand as the bound for the sea, a perpetual barrier which it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. In other words, what do we say of an unbeliever's eyes? You have eyes, physical eyes. You can see physical things, but in terms of spiritual things, you are dead. You were blind. You couldn't see me, God says. You were blind to seeing me. You are blind to seeing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You are blind to seeing the truth of His Word. You could see really nothing. We were like sailing in the fog when we were back here. Does an unbeliever, or did you, when you were an unbeliever, know the history of the world, of God, where we came from, what's the history of the world? Did you know about sin? Could you see your own sin? Could you see your own guilt? Could you see Judgment Day coming? Could you see Jesus and believe in Him as the Savior? Could you see that He rose from the dead? Can you see that He's coming again in the clouds of heaven and glory for judging the world and for saving the righteous and destroying the wicked? No, you are blind to all of these things. As Paul says in Romans 3, no fear of God before their eyes. For in this case, the god of this world, the devil, blinds the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the likeness of God. So, struck with blindness on this side, you were dead previously. And the way of the wicked is deep darkness. They don't know over what they stumble. But what has happened to you when you were born again by faith in Jesus Christ and by baptism? Well, God came over here and did what? And I'm going to draw it this way because I'm not a great drawer. He opened your eyes and made them alive. Are your eyes really alive? Jesus said that to the disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Now, what can you see? You can see Jesus Christ as Lord, amen? We walk by faith, but we see Him. I keep the Lord always before me, said David, because He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. We see the Lord. We see the history of the world. We see that God created it long ago. We see that the world fell into sin and under the punishment of the devil and under death. We see our own sin. We see our guilt. We see Jesus upon the cross. We see Him risen from the dead. We see the truth of His words, this book. We see that He's coming again on the clouds of heaven to judge the world and to save you, the righteous, and give you the kingdom. All these things are clear. While the world over here is sailing in fog, you have radar by the Word of God. Your eyes are opened, and you see all of these things. Is there resurrection power inside of you? Your eyes can see. Big difference. Say big difference.
Big difference.
Big difference between the old and the new. Resurrection power in you. And what's the result of it? This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son sees Him and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I'll raise you up at the last day. In other words, because you see today, that's promising you in the future, you're going to see my kingdom. And that's going to be marvelous. Let's go on to the next part. How about ears? Touch your ears right now. Make sure you're with me. Okay? Matthew 13. Jesus says, quoting Isaiah, for this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are heavy of hearing, lest they should hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn for me to heal them. What were you and what was I in terms of this? Our ears were dead. Couldn't hear a thing in terms of God's word. And I was talking actually this not too far, not too many days ago, with an atheist. And I shared with him the gospel several times. And he was a nice guy. We had a good conversation. But did the words, the seeds of the word, get in? No, he heard them outwardly, but they were not heard in his spirit because they were closed. They were deaf. We were all the same way. I mean, I remember in my 20s, I was reading New Age books, thinking they were Christian, Native American books, Eastern mysticism books, and Beth was a girlfriend to me at the time, and she said, Greg, those are wrong, they're evil, you need to get rid of those books. I was like, no, they're okay, they're all right. I think they're Christian, it's okay. You know what I was? Deaf. My ears were at least dull of hearing. What happened when God brought me to Jesus Christ through the preaching of a Baptist evangelist who came to me, and I believed Jesus, the gospel, His crucifixion, His resurrection, His scriptures, my ears were opened. And what happened to those books that I was reading? I was like, those books, they are evil. And I wrapped them up into masking tape, wrote evil on them or occult or whatever, and I burned them. And what book now do I love and exalt as the only inerrant, infallible word? The Scriptures, the Bible. And so my ears at that time were opened. I know I'm not the best artist, but look, the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. Isn't it great? Now, what do you hear now? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A stranger they'll not follow, for they don't know the voice of strangers. And what is the result of you hearing the words of Christ and believing them? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. In other words, because your ears are opened and you hear the Savior, you're going to hear him on that last day say, come up here and sit with me. I got a great kingdom for you. And so your ears in Jesus Christ, friends, have been opened. Let's celebrate resurrection power inside of you even already. Let's go to the next part. How about your lips? Do you have resurrected lips? Touch your lips. You have resurrected lips? Well, what do you speak of? The Scriptures say when we are unbelievers, Romans 3, their throat is an open grave. Their tongues they use to deceive. Their mouths are full of curses and bitterness. Psalm 64, they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim bitter words like arrows. Psalm 50, they give their mouth free rein for evil. And 1 John 4, they are of the world, therefore what they say is of the world, and the world listens to them. So what can an unbeliever do with his lips? Well, can he praise Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior? Can he declare God's word? What does he speak of? Well, he speaks of the things of this world. You know, when I used to work on the old ships, I had some good camaraderie with the other sailors because we could talk and enjoy sails and ocean and weather and whales and flying pennants and cannons and, you know, charts, and we enjoyed that talk together. But as soon as I would mention Jesus or the Bible or the things of God or sin or judgment or the world to come, their mouth was stopped and they became like absolute zombies. The conversation was over because an unbeliever's lips are not raised. Are your lips raised? What do your lips do? As Christians, we can talk of the things of the world, but the things we love is to say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you do that? Say, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. And when you say that and believe it, that is a raised, resurrected lip that is now pleasing in God's sight. It's speaking his words. It's proclaiming Jesus' name. You can't do that as an unbeliever. Your mouth has been raised. And what is the end result of having resurrection power in your lips being raised? Well, Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When I come on that last day, I will speak to you with my lips and raise you from the dead, Jesus says. It's great to have resurrected lips, isn't it? Do you like the words I'm sharing with you so far? Let's give you a test, see if your lips are raised. Let's say and your ears are open. Jesus is a way to heaven, but not the only way. I mean, no. He's just one of the ways to heaven. Does that sound good in your ears? That would be dead. Your living ears say, no, no, no. How about this? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Do your ears like that?
Yes.
And do your lips to confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Then your lips are resurrected. You know, this is power, friends. It might not seem it, but this is superpower in God's sight. Unbelievers cannot do these things. How about your nose? Do you think you're going to come to church today and I'd talk about your nose? Well, how about the unbeliever's nose? Is that dead? What do we read in 2 Corinthians? Chapter 2. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. So everywhere we go, we're sending off an aroma of Christ. For we are the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Do you know that we have spiritual noses that are raised? Do you notice different smells spiritually? You know, I remember one time in when I was in the Episcopal Church up in Maine, we had a new priest up there, and I was just shortly saved out of New Age teachings and Native American teaching, and I heard this priest get up there, and he started speaking, and it was kind of okay, and then I heard New Age sprinkled in there, and I was like, something's rotten here in the state of Denmark. Couldn't quite exactly pin it down, but I'm like, this smells bad. I actually went in and talked with him after a little while, after several weeks. I said, Father Moore, do you believe that Christ died for our sins on the cross? Up until then, he'd been very pleasant. He kind of snarled a bit, and he said, I've met your kind before. And he said, you're the kind that talk about Jesus and death on the cross, his dying for our sins. He says, no, that would make God a divine child abuser. I don't believe that. And I saw that he was really a wolf. And that's why eventually we became Lutherans. We left the Episcopal Church. But notice, that smelled bad. How about when you meet a believer? Someone that knows Jesus Christ. I was in the Caribbean one time with at a bookstore, Christian bookstore. There was a woman. She was of a different skin color than myself. Obviously, a different gender. She had a different economic background. Raised in another part of the world. Had a little bit of a different language than I did, and yet when I met her and we began to speak of Christ, it was as if I'd known her for 1,000 years. And she smelled like a rose to me, and I smelled like a rose to her, because we both had the aroma of Christ upon us at that point, and it was glorious. It smelled great. Are your noses raised? Again, if I say, that's a great nose. But if I preach to you, Jesus Christ is coming, and he loves you, and he's the only Savior of the world, that smells good to you because you're a Christian. If it doesn't smell good, we need to talk, all right? So a resurrected nose means one day you're going to smell the fragrances of heaven and the glory of the kingdom, praise God. How about the hands? Psalm 58 says, your hands deal out violence on the earth, says to the wicked and unbeliever, but to the Christian, Proverbs 31, her hands of the righteous woman reaches out her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. So an unbeliever over here, what is he using his hands for ultimately, really? Himself, building up his own earthly kingdom, accumulate what he can here in this little world. What does a believer use his hands for? Resurrected. I don't know how to draw a hand here, but it's a terrible hand, but let's see your hands. What are they doing? They're reaching out to the poor. And they're building up not your own empire, but the kingdom of God. I want to use my hands, God, in any way I can to serve you and to reach out to help others. Your hands are resurrected. How about your feet? Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they know not. There's no fear of God before their eyes. They walk not in the ways of Christ. What about you? Your feet are now resurrected to walk in the ways of Christ. Psalm 16 says, God, you show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And our path is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Because you're walking in the way of Jesus Christ. You have resurrected feet. How about your mind? Ephesians 4 says, of the unbeliever, they're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God due to their hardness of heart. Their mind is dark and dull, but for us, we have the mind of Christ. So their minds can't understand spiritual things because they don't have the Spirit. You speak to them, and it just, they don't understand it. They hear it, but they don't understand it. You guys, do you understand how great this is? You understand all things. You know, where we were, where we're going, what the kingdom of God is like. You delight in all the truths of God. You discern things in the unseen realms, angels, demons, the will of God, the gospel, all these things. Your mind is enlightened in God. It's raised. And we'll do one more. How about the heart? What can we say of the heart of the unbeliever and of all of us previous to Christ? Your heart was as hard as a stone. It was not a living heart. You had no heart for God. I had no heart for God. But in Ezekiel chapter, I think it's 36, God says, I'm going to take out of you the heart of stone. I'm going to put into you a heart of flesh. And you're going to know me. And I'm going to know you. And you're going to know the forgiveness of your sins, that I don't remember them against you. And you're going to begin to love because I first loved you. And now I'm going to put love into your heart for one another. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Your heart has been raised. And that is really superpowers for you in Jesus Christ. So we'll conclude here, but what is the heart? Where does that lead us to? Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How do you get your heart cleansed? By how what a good person you are, by doing 1,000 good deeds, by keeping various things to merit it? No, your heart is cleansed through the blood of Christ. That he forgives your sins in the gospel. That he really died for you. He really, listen, forgives you who believe in him. He washes you whiter than snow and makes you clean with a clear conscience through his gospel. That's what the heart is made pure by, and it delights to know God. And when you do that, guess what? We can celebrate with superpowers today. Not just that. Christ saved us once long ago. We celebrate that 2,000 years ago. He rose. We're not only celebrating, he is going to raise our bodies on the last day, but right now there is resurrection power in you to celebrate until the day of the glory of the kingdom to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Is Resurrection Power in You Already? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul. And God bless you.